Well, we finished part one and now we're here to part two. We're talking about all sorts of stuff that Matty didn't get to cover in part one. If you haven't seen it yet though, go back and check it out. We're going to get on with part two.
Chaz and I went to China in 2018 as well. To do an R&D trip. We went to this big expo called CBB or something like that. And they just had all of the manufacturers in one spot at the one time.
Okay.
So we just thought we could see what equipment was dog shit and what was what was good. And then we were probably happy to get quotes off five different manufacturers, Tiantai being one of them.
Yep.
We decided to go with them for a number of reasons. One, just that quality and price point sort of was where we sort of were happy with. There was definitely some stuff over there that was higher quality, but you were paying for it. It was what we could afford. The other thing that sort of tipped it in their favour was they'd done a few breweries in Australia by this stage. So
they're pretty well known, the breweries.
So they'd done Ten Toes and Your Mates Up the Road, Ballistic, and a number of others in Australia. Yep. So we were quite confident that if we sent the coin over there to them, they weren't going to do the runner.
Yeah.
And it's pretty daunting sending, you know, a fair chunk of cash over there.
Because that would have been your biggest purchase.
Oh, big
ever,
time.
Right?
And we squint and we saved, you know, for, you know, years to get that money together.
Yeah.
Shaz and I are the only investors.
Yep.
So, you know, we haven't done any crowdfunding or anything like that. Which is...
It is the blood, sweat and tears of you guys.
It has its pluses and its minuses.
Yep.
Like, we're not answerable to anyone else.
Yep.
But it has taken a lot longer to get that capital together to, you know... You see a lot of other breweries that have expanded a lot quicker and a lot faster than us, but we've just done it in our own time. Yeah, we had the kit ordered. It was about 90% finished, and then COVID hit China. Yep. It hadn't hit here. And then they just got shut down, and then we had a big shed empty that we were paying rent on, and we were waiting for this kit to arrive. And I was like, I wasn't screaming down the phone, but I was sending some pretty sharp emails. Not realising at all how serious the situation was.
No one did, right? No, it was,
And then they were back up and running at a limited sort of scale.
Probably because, like, your 90% being done was probably a good factor.
So they got the kit completed and then they sent it out here, but we were going to get them to come out and commission it here.
Yep.
Obviously, they weren't allowed into the country, so, yeah, I had to do it. I look back on it and it was a blessing in disguise, but at the time it was...
You know every single millimetre of that thing now.
I know exactly all that pipe work intimately, how it goes together, because I put it together.
Like, was it like an IKEA kit? Like,
it was IKEA
a, B,
mix,
and,
man. There was no instructions or anything like that, but each connection, like I have A2, A2, they go together.
Yeah, cool.
And so we had it all spread out here on the floor.
Yep.
And it was like a big sort of jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah.
So one of my mates, Rodney, he was one of the Bifly's.
Yep.
He's ex-Air Force technician.
Yep.
He just sold his business here, so he was probably looking for something to do. So I hit him up and just said, do you want to come and
I got a Meccano set that's not on steroids.
I said, I'll pay you, but I just need a hand putting this together. Without him, I'd still be putting it together.
Yeah.
So we plugged away at it. There was a few frustrating moments, you know. We had a couple of beers whilst we were doing sometimes too, and then we go, we got it. Got this bit. And then getting it level was another was another issue. But we did, we got it together. You know, Rodney got all the electrics all hooked up and scaling up from that 300 litre kit to this kit.
Yep, so how big is this one?
This is 2000, so it's 20 hec.
Four vessel,
yep. Steam. I've designed most of it myself, so everything that
There's some Matty quirks that are unique to your brewery?
It's not custom sort of design, but there was definitely things that I asked for.
Yeah.
And there's a few things in there that shit me, but they're first world problems. It's a really good bit of kit. Yeah, so, scaling it up from 300 litres to 2,000, we nailed it straight away.
Yeah, right.
It was much easier
Do you think that's because you did spend so much time designing
not
it yourself?
I was gypsy brewing down at Seven Mile in Ballina during this time as well. Yep. So I was able to, and with the other Matt Wilson down there, yep. like he helped me scale up the recipes from sort of 300 to his kit, which I think was 1,500 litres. And then going from that to this wasn't such a big step either. Yeah. So we nailed it straight away. The first beer we brewed was our Deadbeat, which is the cheapest one to make.
Yep. And then we straight away as well.
Yeah. So we had no issues with that. We made a couple of little mistakes, like just getting used to it. Like, you know, there was some work that went on the floor. And,
wrong valve was open
just,
or something.
Just wrong valves and stuff like that. But we got it together and we nailed it pretty much straight away. And then that's sort of where we are now.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not just the kit, you got a canning line as well?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We started using just the mobile canning guys. We were using, we got Scott in to do from Craft Punks. He did one with us. But yeah, he's based in Brisbane, and then a mate of mine who's here, Hayden Mokaroka, he just set up his own sort of mobile canning thing. So I started using Hayden purely because he's local and he's a mate, and he did a great job.
And if you need to get beer in tank, you can be like, you can get here.
So. Hayden helped us out for quite some time whilst we purchased and were waiting for our own canning line to come.
Yep.
It's an Alpha BC250. It definitely hasn't been without its frustration.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone
with a canning line
I think everyone has that experience.
Yeah.
And I think everyone has that experience.
I don't think it matters what canning line. Yeah.
But I had not had a lot of experience doing a lot of canning. My only experience was helping the guys at Your Mates when they did, you know, one with them, just seeing how it works, and then going down to Seven Mile. But even then, like, that was their kit there.
Yeah.
I was just helping pack shit away, basically.
Yep.
And it was my own beers, but they ran it. It was their kit. So that's the only sort of experience that I had on it. But there is nothing like the, you know, seeing money go down the drain to make you learn something quick.
Yeah.
So yeah, we, like, the first one we did, I knew it was going to be a shit day.
Yeah.
I was quite philosophical
straight away
about that.
Yep.
So yeah, we did the Deadbeat again because it's the cheapest beer. But Shazzy walked in the door and just saw all of this piss all over the floor, and her face just, like, her jaw just dropped.
Because she knows what it costs.
Yeah, yeah. And I just said, work from home today, baby. Like, being here. And to her credit, she turned on her heels and she went home and she worked from home that day. But look, we've got it sorted now. It hums.
Yeah.
There's every now and then we have a shit day on it.
Yep.
I stole this from Stone and Wood, but we call her Amy Winehouse because when she's good, she's good. But when she's bad, she's really bad.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's what Stone and Wood called their original bottling line in their original site. So, Amy goes all right, but she can be naughty every now and then.
So let's talk about some of your beers, man. Like, well, one of the things I've always wanted to know, you're naming your beers. Like, how do you come up with a name? Is there any sort of theme that you base them around?
Initially, it was all me. There was, I'm a massive music fan.
Yep.
We've always had live music on in the venues. There was a bit of a music theme, Iggy
yep.
Pop.
Yeah,
I love Iggy Pop.
Yep.
There's that beer. And then there's Passenger, which is an Iggy Pop song.
Yep.
It's also a Powderfinger song.
Yeah.
I'm a Ween fan too. So one of our stouts was Voodoo Lady, which I named after Shaz.
Yeah, yeah.
there was definitely a music theme there to start with. Now that there's other people involved, like Craig has joined the business.
Yep.
He was formerly the event director at Gabs.
Yep.
So now that he's come on board, I've probably relinquished a little bit of that.
Yep.
We have more of a collaborative sort of take on it. But yeah, like, Summer Ale was originally only meant to be a seasonal beer to have at summertime, but it's done that well for us. We've just had to put it in the core range and we've had to keep it on tap. So that one's pretty obvious. It's just for the summertime.
Yeah.
But we are going to change the name of that once we finish these run of cans that we had printed. Not too radical. We're just going to change it from Summer Ale to Summer Session IPA.
Oh, yeah.
So, because that's what it is.
Yeah.
We're just going to change that. I suppose one thing that I have learnt, like, it's not just something that I'm doing in my garage anymore,
yeah.
where I'm just, I can be a bloke and name it what I want. There are repercussions for
yep.
What you call things,
yes,
and,
yep.
and you really do have to be mindful of that.
Yeah, there's bigger things at play.
Yeah,
and, yeah,
yeah. But yeah, not only from things that could potentially be offensive.
Yeah.
There's also some copyright things
yeah.
as well.
Yep.
And we did run into trouble with the Iggy beer.
Yeah, okay. Just,
but with the imagery on it.
Yeah, because I remember the old imagery.
Yeah, we had to change that. And it's just not...
Were they cool with thinking, it, like in saying no. you can keep your beer like that, but you need to change the image? Or
Iggy himself was cool.
Yep.
We got an email from his manager. He was okay with it, but the photographer that owned the rights to that image... And I look back on it, and it's pretty dumb.
Yeah.
Like, which,
yeah, it's pretty ballsy, though.
So, yeah, he wasn't cool with it. So we, and that's why that imagery has changed. And it's yep. also one of the reasons why we don't make it as much either.
Yeah, yep.
But we are releasing it again.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
We definitely won't be using...
that photo. And,
yeah.
So. I've heard rumours that you brew all your award beers down there because they're more controlled and you're small... and I didn't think that was the case.
No, incorrect.
But, yep.
No, everything used to be brewed on there.
Yep.
But to be honest, I actually think that the beer
this
tastes
puts better. Better beer.
Off yeah. this. I get much better hop aroma off this kit than the little one. Less oxidation, I think, as well. So, yeah, no, everything's done on this kit that we've sent down there, with the exception of the stout a couple of years ago that we sent down, which was just at the Queensland Awards. So, yeah, we don't just brew specifically for the awards now.
Yeah.
So we generally send in our core range.
Yep.
We send the freshest beer possible. We definitely do that. And then we generally have like one or two specialties. So you often find that the Reset Red will be at the AIBAs because
that's when you're brewing it
at that time.
Yeah.
This beer we brew twice a year. So you'll often see it at both the major awards.
Yeah, but, nice.
Yeah, that's generally what we do. You know, I would be lying if I said that the awards aren't a focus for us.
Yeah,
you know, they are.
Well, I've heard you quote many times on a number of interviews, and I think that's why a lot of your beers are so flavourful and so awesome and so consistently winning, is because you do take that feedback how it's meant. You sit down and you analyse.
Oh, absolutely. I do that, but we do... target them as well. Like we're not super strategic in how we enter things, because we enter a lot of hoppy beers where there's a lot of entries in them. But I will write up on the whiteboard all the key dates, and we make sure that we've got stuff ready for them. So we plan out.
It's in the production plan.
Yeah,
where all those things sort of fall.
Yep.
Yeah, nice. The your specialty beers, like, do you like say, oh, we have to have one every month? Or is it we're just when we got space? Or?
We have a sales meeting every Monday, and then we'll discuss what's coming up. We do have old favourites that come back on a seasonal basis. So yeah, like as I said before, the Reset Red, that's just been released, so that's on. We just put the stout into cans for the first time as well. You know, then coming into spring, we're starting to plan that now.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've got our 2A XBA coming up. We've got that coming in spring. We're probably looking to do, like, the Girl IPA, another one where, with the naming. That was originally called Psychotic Girl, which was a Black Keys song.
Yep.
Definitely didn't want any connotations about mental health or anything there. So we changed the name of that. We just dropped that psychotic bit out. That was another sort of dumb thing. And we just call it Girl IPA. I'm surrounded by girls at home. You know, I've got two daughters, and the wife, and the dog and the cat are girls too.
You've done yourself.
So we celebrate that now with that beer. So that comes out each spring. We do that one. Yeah, and then we always have, like, sours on over the hotter months, which is our party mix sort of brand, which my daughter named, because she loves music as well, and that's her sort of party mix was that. So, and we changed the fruit that we're using each time. So.
Yeah, nice. You're obviously super successful, man. Like, we're looking at your awards table here.
Yep.
You got your whole awards sheets up on the board. But even not just that, like, the beer's tasting great, the venues are able to stay open, they're obviously able to do that. What's success for you? Like, is it the awards and the recognition? Is it the people coming in? Is it the industry events where people are clamouring and want to talk to you?
Definitely not that. Yeah. For me,
which I know that it's not. Like, you and Shaz are always super humble and approachable.
We'd be full of shit if we said that we didn't enjoy.
Oh, mate, no, everyone loves winning. Like,
it's pretty good for the ego.
100%.
It's an interesting question, actually. We, I suppose, we've just been like the hamster on the wheel and just
keeping on going.
Just keeping on going. We'd probably like to pay ourselves properly eventually. That would be nice. And we do pay ourselves.
100%, yeah.
But we're definitely not the highest paid people in the organisation.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to be that.
Yeah.
For us, getting this business to a stage where it doesn't consume us would be nice.
Yeah. Do you reckon you'd be able to be more hands off?
I have already started on the hospitality side, but. Yeah. Man, I still got a phone call this morning, at 7 o'clock, the coffee machine wasn't working.
Yep.
I don't think that's ever going
Someone
to go
has
away.
To sort it, eh?
I don't think that's ever going to go away. That's always going to be there. Craig has definitely taken a lot of that slack up. They probably called Craig before they called me and Shaz now, which I'm sure he doesn't love. But I don't think that's ever going to go away. Like, we've got 30 staff, but that's the gig, that's the life we've chosen for ourselves.
Yeah,
we just got to roll with that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
But yeah, we have stepped back a bit.
Yep.
I for a long, long time, I was brewing and I was doing, every Sunday, a barista shift on that coffee machine.
Yep.
I don't do that anymore.
Yep. With your whole setup here, like, how sort of long will you be able to live here?
Oh, for quite some time. We've just taken the rest of the shed as well.
Yeah, okay.
We did about 12 months ago. We definitely don't need it. It became available and we just thought that we would jump on that. If another tenant went in there and they signed a long lease, well, then we're sort of screwed if we do need to expand. So we jumped on it it's been handy. We've just got all the empty cans in there at the moment, and that's a pretty good storage spot. But eventually we will move all of the packaging into there, and then we can put some more fermentation tanks in here. So I don't see us having to leave this spot.
Yep.
But who knows, mate?
Yeah.
I've been doing this long enough to know that things can change.
Yeah, you don't know what you...
Either way.
What's your favourite thing about the industry? Because I was talking to... We were up at Noosa Hinterland yesterday, talking to John. Like, he was saying, whether or not... I can't remember if he said it on camera or not, but, like, I'm very much familiar with it as well. Like, the industry as a whole, we're all competitors. We're also super friendly and
I can tell you 100%, that's the easiest question.
Yep.
Exactly that.
Yep.
Like, we sat on table at the AIBAs on Thursday night, and we had some coffee people on the table. And the comment they said to us is that you wouldn't see that collaborative mindset in the coffee industry.
Yeah.
They're not.
It's pretty special, hey.
So that is definitely the thing that I love. Like, I can get on the phone and call the guys at Brouhaha and say, hey, can you lend me this? And the same goes for the boys at Your Mates and Ten Toes and anyone else. Like, if I run out of something, I can,
you've got a network you can reach to.
And vice versa as well, as long as I've got it. I don't think that you would get that in soft drink or something like that. I don't know, but even when, like, working in finance, there's no way that would happen.
Yeah.
There's no way.
What's your favourite baby?
Oh, I don't have a favourite baby. Look, the Passenger is probably the beer that I drink the most of.
Yep.
That's an original homebrew beer as well.
Yeah,
I brew that one at home. It's not one of the beers that we win a lot of awards for either, but we have won awards for it. But that's probably what I drink the most of. Like, I love the Trill.
Yep.
Like,
oh, yeah, but you can't drink the Trilogy all the time.
That's not an everyday
Yeah, no.
But is it my favourite? I don't know. Like, it's, I don't drink the Deadbeat at all. That's what the beer that keeps the lights on. But I am one of those guys, I can appreciate everything. I was back in Sydney and I caught up with some mates from school and I was happy sitting in the pub drinking two is new.
But
I'm not a snob like that. Will I go and buy a carton of it? No.
Yeah. But if you're in a pub with your mates,
with the mates, yeah, no dramas, shows won't.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Cool, man. Oh, well, thanks for chatting to me. It's been freaking amazing.
No, thank you.
We're going to go and sit down and drink a few more of these award-winning beers, I reckon.
Beauty.